through 8 from a New King James Version. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal-minded is empty against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the spirit, in the flesh cannot please God.
I read an article the other day that's called Don't Quit. I sat here tonight when I come in, I thought, what illustration can I use? I hope it's better than this morning, Dave. What illustration can I use to talk about not quitting? I don't know how many of y'all feel like right now if we got up and decided we were going to take off running, how many could run to the little general? I'm out. Lord, can. You know, what about the four-way stop? What about Atwood? How far would it take to run for you to say, I quit? You know, that's one of the hardest things to do, really. Especially for me now. But I know I told you the story about when I was in college, I got to wanting to lose weight. And I've gotten past that, too. But I got to where I was running every morning or every afternoon. I got up to where I was actually running 5 miles a day. And I wanted to lose more weight, so I took a trash bag. Nobody do this. Very dangerous. Stuck my head through a trash bag, stuck my arms through it, and tucked them down in my shorts to make me sweat more. And I would run with that, and I was losing the weight. I mean, I was just coming off of it. But my brother-in-law, or soon-to-be brother-in-law, came one week, and he said, I want to run with you. I said, no, that's not a good idea. I said, I run pretty fast, and I run 5 miles. He said, I used to run 8 or whatever it was he told me. I said, I could tell by looking at him. He didn't need to run, kind of like you're looking at me now. I said, you just need to run to the refrigerator or wherever you want to go and call it done. And I could tell by looking at him, he didn't need to be running at the pace I was running at, but he was bound and determined he was going to do it. So we met down at Freed Harmon down. He drove out of the golf course. They had a track and everything set up and went around the baseball field, softball, pretty long track. And we started running. We didn't get very far, and you could tell, I'm not making fun of him, because if me and Nick went down it now, I would be this person. He got the breathing hard. I looked at him and said, you know, you need to stop. You need to go back and wait at the truck. He said, no, I can handle it. We went a little bit further. It got worse. It got worse and worse. And finally, he said, you know, I believe I'm going to go back to the truck. I said, that's a good idea. So I went ahead, and I finished all that I run, and when I come back by, he was laying down beside me. And I picked at him over here, still do when I think about that, because we had a good laugh at it. You know, when I was in the Army, I told y'all one time, we were from my house to here, back to where we was going to be done anyway. But I had struggled for so long wanting to stop running. That, you know how you talk yourself into quitting? That's what I was doing. I said, I can't make it. I'm going to die. There's no way I'll finish this run. I've got to fall out. And at a point when we were nearly all the way back, my mind was shot. And I stepped out of formation, and I let them run on by, and I walked back to the barracks. When I got there, the lieutenant was waiting on me. He run me for another hour. He said, I'm going to break you from this quick. And he did. I never fell out of another run. I remember in high school on the basketball court, we would have to run wind sprints, running back and forth, touching all the lines, and it was just horrible. You would fall back, and when you got so far back, you began just to trot then. It wasn't long, you wasn't running anymore, and somebody was screaming at you. It was easy to quit when it gets hard. But an article I read the other day said, don't quit. And it was talking about, obviously, the Christian life. It was talking about how that sometimes we start off and we're so energetic, thinking we can and we will, and we start off just as hard as we can run. And then we get to a point in our Christian life where we slow down. And many times people get to the point where they quit. And if you turn to the text that Bonnie just read for us in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Chapter, or verse 5 there, it challenges us. All of these verses does. When we're thinking about quitting, we're thinking about whether or not we can make it. And obviously we want to switch this, and we want to think about our Christian life. We want to think about endurance, and we want to think about not allowing Satan to pull us out of the church. Because, you know, if we look around us today, it's so many that do leave. They leave the church, they leave the faith, and they leave God in their life. But look at verse 5. What's it telling us there? It's asking the question, are you after the flesh, or are you after the what? The Spirit. Now, that's a choice that we have to make. When we're preparing for a, and I don't do this, Lori, but if I was preparing for a marathon of some sort, it's a mental preparation that you would have to go through. So the article was comparing the two and talking about quitting. Are we preparing our minds to live this Christian life? We're either after the worldly things or we're after the spiritual things. Then you look down at verse 6. If you're after the flesh, it tells you what comes. It's death. But it says, if you're after the Spirit, it is life and peace. So you start off, you have to make a choice, but you don't just have to make a choice. You see what the end result is. You see, if you choose to go this way, it's going to be death. That's loss. That's failure. That's falling out of the run and walking back, and when you get back, you get abused by the lieutenant that's standing there waiting for you. And in the Christian life, in our life, is that if we quit, if we choose this path, we know already what's going to happen at the end. It's going to be death, and it's going to be with Satan. But it says, if we endure, if we choose the spiritual side, if we endure the race that we're running, and we finish the race, it's life. The home in heaven. Then you look down at verse 7. Flesh is enemy of God. So when we're preparing our minds, the article went on to say, when we're preparing our minds and we're getting ready for this life of the Christian life, as we made up our mind, it's the life we're going to live. When we're choosing what we're going to do, if we choose the wrong way, it's against God. And then he finally in verse 8, if you're living in the flesh, you cannot please God. Do we want to please God in our life? Do we want to finish the race that we started? At what point in our life do we quit? I guess if it was Sunday morning, I might have went a little different route to this article, and I thought about it tonight. You don't have to participate in what I'm fixing to say. This is just the illustration that was brought out in this article. You know, how many of you have ever taught class? Looking around, probably most everybody in here has taught Bible class at some point. Why did you quit? Why did you quit teaching Bible class? At what point in our lives, and that was just one illustration that it brought out, but at what point in our lives do we decide we're not going to be teachers anymore? You know, one of the struggles that we have, that's not to make anybody feel bad, but one of the struggles that we have sometimes is getting teachers. You know, to me, how neat it would be to have some of the older people teaching a class with the younger people. The wisdom has got to be there. The life experiences that have to be there. Or at least sitting with someone and talking to someone, encouraging someone. And I know that we do that, and I know that you do that. But in that article, at what point do we lay it down and we say, you know, we're done with our work. We're done evangelizing. We're done studying. We're done teaching. We are done leading in worship. We're done at this point, and we walk away from it. I think we do better when we're more involved. I think the busier you are, and I think the busier that I am in the church work, the more faithful that I am. The old saying is talking about idle minds, is it not? We got to keep our minds going in the right direction. We got to be thinking about God. We got to be thinking about the Bible. We got to be thinking about church, and we got to be figuring out what talents I have and what can I use to better the church or better the congregation here at Trinity. What can I do to win souls? What can I do to get people in here? What can I do to help? Then it ended by going to the book of Galatians, and it talks about Paul in Galatians chapter 6. Look at verses 7 through 9. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." And that's how the article closed. It closed by talking about what are we sowing? What are we putting our life? What are we devoting our life to? It's entitled, "Don't Quit." It's easy to quit when you get tired. It's easy to walk away from it. You say, "I can't do it." I've said it a few times in my life. Not just in running a race or running in the army. I've said it a few times in my life on a few things. It's easy to say, "I can't." But God says we can. The Bible says we can. Matter of fact, Jesus says, or Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That eliminates failure. But I can do everything through Christ. Tonight, we want to be an encouragement to you. And we want you to, in turn, be an encouragement to others. If you're here and you're not a Christian, become a Christian tonight. Put the Lord on in baptism. If you're here and you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, our prayer is that you will do that tonight. Why together we can.